Today, it's Edwin's Monday Evening Property Rant. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that's post covering finance and property news. Monday has come around again, and of course, Edwin is with me for another rant. Edwin, how are you going?
I'm doing well, Martin, but there was a lot of banter on X over the weekend, and one of the Royals was missing, and I said, oh shit, Martin's gone missing again. So what was the go there? Have they found the Royal is the question, Martin. Have they found the Royal?
Yeah, I have no idea, but I've been buried, actually. Been very, very busy this last few days. Quite a few conversations going on and a lot of analysis going on, because things are actually, well, there's a few corners being turned, I think, at the moment. It's quite interesting. I don't know whether you've been watching the media at all, but it is quite interesting that suddenly there's been a spate of articles saying things like suburbs where house prices have hit a ceiling. This is Adelaide, or this is Melbourne. Peninsula may have hit peak. Don't pay too much, buyers warned, right? Or peaking burbs where you've paid too much. This is actually in the New South Wales area, around Sydney. Suddenly, all the mainstream media is on saying you mustn't pay too much. Prices might be a bit extreme. It's amazing. Where did that come from?
I don't know, but look, the property market's very uncertain. But one thing for sure that we can be certain about is, taxes for one, death another one, and Putin winning the election. But who'd have guessed, Martin? Who would have guessed that Putin would have won the election? You know, it's like saying that that the politicians don't buy property when the market is hot. I don't know what your thoughts are on the Russian election, and I don't know what your thoughts are on politicians. Whether they're synonymous with Putin winning elections and politicians buying property, but it's whichever way you want to read the stories, right?
Well, Parramatta MP buys a $12 million holiday house. Okay, for some. Yeah, well, politicians have one set of rules and ordinary people have a rather different set of rules, don't they?
Yeah, look, and you try to follow all the different articles, you try to follow everything. And this is where we say, look, all those articles that you put up earlier on, as well as what people post on X, and there's a lot of people that are in the property game that do post a lot of different things on X, and there's a lot of cryptanians and people in the in the stock market and that, and follow quite a few of them as well, and it's interesting what they post out. But it's all about the information, right? It's all about sifting through the information that we're given, and at the end of the day, for me, for my team, for our backyard, which is the Sydney Basin, Sydney region, is where we're focused a lot on, and that is the numbers which we bring up on our show, and we figure out what's happening there. The second thing that we talk about is also the demographics, the shifts and the trends between how a lot of ethnic communities are being polarized. We certainly don't pay any attention to the BS that agents put out there. The stock chick put out and says, remember when the media told us we would have a huge problem with distressed sales because of all the fixed rate loans ending? I mean, first of all, define distress, right? I always go back to the definition of the terminology that they use. Yeah, I want distress sales to be defined. Second of all, if you believe that selling agents, when they put on their ads, distressed, must sell, have to sell, need to sell, is because the vendor is in a lot of hot water. Well, Dusty and I have got a bridge and a nice house, next to the bridge for sale. Because Kirribilli's already been sold, Alba already sold that last year. So this is what we're saying. You've got to really sift through all the information that's out there and get to the duck's guts of things to understand where the property's going and understand the dynamics in your market, in your city, in your LGA, in your suburb, in your neighborhood, even in your street, type of house, type of dwellings, what's happening with what. And then you take a step back and you start looking at what we keep on saying. You look at the geopolitical trends, the issues overseas, the local economic issues. These are all influencing a local market, the construction industry, what's happening with that, with the taxes that are imposed by the state governments. I mean, all these form a larger part, but unfortunately, people are just led by the nose, not only by the mainstream media, but also by the and all the different indexes that we talk about, but also by the selling agents, and they believe that it's that the selling agents are their best friends when it comes to buying, which is we keep on saying, they're not your best friends. Stop relying on that information. And most of the agents are feeding the mainstream media with what they want, the main of the population to think and understand, because it's a game of chess.
Well, it is really interesting. And I think for me, Edwin, you have to separate out the marketing strategy from reality, because marketing and reality are not the same thing, right? And you can put an advert, distressed property sale, as you say, all you're doing is just trying to get somebody to be interested. Another example would be those rather Mickey Mouse surveys that are offered as part of the package. The vendor effectively is encouraged by the agent to get one of those Mickey Mouse surveys done. But when you actually come to look at it, as we've discussed many times, the survey is pretty worthless. And yet, a lot of prospective purchasers rely on that information as though it's gospel. And the fact of the matter is, you have to separate out marketing from reality, right? This is about making people do things rather than actually providing fair and open information for a transparent decision.
Yeah, look, there's a company. I won't mention the name of the company in case we get sued. But there's a company that you can request building inspection reports, as you call them, surveys, building inspection reports for before you go to auction, before you bid at an auction, or before you buy a house that are provided by the selling agents. Likewise, the same company provides strata reports to potential buyers. I mean, they're as useful as a scribble pad, as far as I'm concerned, because I have proven over and over again with our clients, my own personal clients as well, not only my team's clients, but my own personal clients, I've shown them over and over again how they differ. And in two instances, we've used the same building company that this company that provides these reports to the real estate agents provides. We use the same building companies because they're all contracted out, and two building inspectors from the same building company provide totally distinct reports. In one case, I recall, this is a home that's worth close to $3 million at the time, and it didn't identify any major issues, and the inspector that we commissioned showed that there was three major issues with the house. Now, I'd already flagged those with our buyer, hence the reason why we went as far as getting up, because our buyer at the time was very keen on the house. They were living in they were expats living in Hong Kong. And I said, look, if we're really going to proceed, because they were sold on the building report that they purchased from the agency. And then after, as much as I sent the videos, as much as I pointed out different issues that weren't picked up by the building report, to basically walk away from that and give them that feeling that, hey, we've done everything that we can to make sure that that we're not walking away from in their eyes, what they thought because of the glossy photos, the shiny photos, and the 40 mil grain of benchtop. They weren't going to be disappointed. So when we commissioned the building inspector, and the three major reports came on, and although they don't give you an estimate on cost to fix or rectify the issue, being an old builder, off the record, we both agreed that it was going to cost in the vicinity of $150,000 to $200,000 to rectify it, apart from the fact that it had an illegal extension on the house anyway. So going from that, it's easier to pick these issues up in freestanding homes. But the main thing now that I'm coming across is where buyers are relying on strata reports issued by the same company. And this is where a lot of young first-time buyers are going to come unstuck, and they're going to come unstuck in a very bad way. Because, again, this company, in the majority, all they do is provide financials that don't go and inspect the common areas. They don't go and inspect the basement car parking areas, also being common areas. They don't go and inspect the surrounding, the surrounds of the building, because that's not their job. They just, all they do is they give you a summary of the last 5-7 years of financials and put it down in a report. And you know what? And people are getting taking that as gospel. When we do our searches, we want to find out. We want to find out. We want to go back when the building was built. We want to know who built the building. Are they still active? Are they, who was the strata company that took carriage of the strata or the owners corporation? At the time that the builder still had own property in the dwelling, because it's in the first 2 years of a building that most of the works that can be claimed on. And this is where the strata managers have to be very diligent in the way they get the reports, to make sure that they're looking after the best interest of the owners corporation. But they don't do that, and this is where, in fact, where Mascot Towers came unstuck, because the strata manager at the time, when within the first couple of years or so of the inception of the owners corporation, the strata manager cut a deal on behalf of the owners corporation with a developer, and I recall it was about they cut a deal of about $800,000 for to allow the then builder developer to walk away from any rectification work. And here we are. And this is what I was saying when the issue happened with Mascot Towers. I was saying they shouldn't be trying to chase the builder. The builder is in Lebanon. The builder had flown the coop years ago. There's no point in chasing the council, the private certifier, or whatever other certification they may have got. They should have been laser focused on the strata managers that held carriage of the of managing that complex from the beginning. And that's critical. And a lot of people say, oh yeah, but I can't get it. Yeah, you can't get it because you don't understand how to get it. And the agent will tell you that you can't get further reports, or you can't get further answers to the questions that you may have, because they're not there to help you. They're there to impede your due diligence when it comes to buying. They're not there to disclose material fact. They're not there to, they're meant to, but do you really think that they do? There's a lot of cases at the moment, on tow with this said provider of building inspection reports, because they're being sued because of the inspectors haven't disclosed a lot of issues in different dwellings. But likewise, there are a number of councils now that I've been keeping tabs with extensions to homes and dwellings and illegal dwellings in properties, illegal second dwellings, where now the LGA, the councils, are going to take them to task. And guess what, Martin? These properties are being sold. They're being sold. And we reported on a couple of these properties last year and the year before. And now these properties are under the eye are under the magnifying glass of the council, and they're going to be issued demolition orders because this council they do not believe in reverse DAs or anything like that. Not that one of those homes will not comply anyway, at all. There would never be the development on the extra extension to that to the dwelling would never be approved by council anyway. So we're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars that are going to be thrown away, and people are literally, potentially, in one instance, they're going to be told to walk away from the house because half their house has to go.
Yeah, and you mentioned Mascot Towers, and I think it's a good object lesson. I actually made a show, which came out yesterday, talking about the life lessons from Mascot Towers, leaky lifeboats. And there's all sorts of things we could talk about, but investors and owner-occupiers being offered different deals by New South Wales government, but very much deeply discounted. And I made the point in that show, Edwin, that the truth of the matter is that if you're thinking of purchasing, particularly a high-rise property, or if you're thinking of going into an off-the-plan deal, you have to do your own due diligence. You cannot rely on any of those Mickey Mouse documents that are provided along the way. And unfortunately, if you don't do that, you can end up missing out effectively on hundreds of thousands of dollars. In other words, the value that you put into the property could be crushed. And, there are examples with Mascot Towers where people have just lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And the point is this, that if you don't do the due diligence on the way in, it's really, really difficult to climb out of the hole later, isn't it?
Look, it is, and this is where there's another company, one of my competitors, or I call him a competitor, or call him a colleague. I just call him, I call him other names. But they keep on telling their buyers that they're assisting that they can get more information than what the agent is providing, which is a lot of hogwash, because it's information that you need in order to make the right assessment. But look, here's an early tip for our followers. Our long-time followers already know, but for our new followers that are tuning in, particularly those in government, in Shoebridge, we can here's a tip: when you're going to be buying into this high rise, right? Most of the time is spent in the apartment. Give yourself an extra 5, 10 minutes, and just walk down the emergency stairwell, or catch the lift down to the basement car park, and start looking around to see what sort of shit you find down there. What do you see down there? What are the issues that you don't necessarily look at when you go and look at apartments? And also for the older established apartments, do the same. The other thing that a lot of people fail to do, I don't understand why, Martin, but a lot of people fail to do, is particularly when they're going to be bidding or acting or making offers on properties, I don't understand why they don't go knocking on the doors of, you're already in the building, you're already there, knock on a couple of doors, see if, they're going to be your best, that's going to be one of the best sources of information, whether it's a tenant or whether it's a resident, an owner-occupier. They'll be frank and upfront. Most of the time, they will be frank and upfront. And I've actually recorded some conversations with tenants and also with owner-occupiers of certain buildings. They're basically, and I've shared it on my social media, on Twitter and stuff, when it was Twitter many years ago. I shared conversations where even owner-occupiers, basically. I've approached them. I've said, "Look, I'm recording. This is okay." But I don't show their face. I point the camera to the floor. And they've had a very, frank conversation with me, and they've said, "Walk away. Don't even think about it. There are too many issues." And that's before we even ask for other documentation that would reflect that anyway. But guarantee you, Martin, that that information will be buried in the documents that the selling agents give you. But that's the game, and people have got to understand that's the game that's been played, and that's the ring that you're getting into, and it's no longer hundreds of thousands of dollars. In some areas for one bedroom apartments, we're upwards of $1.5 million.
Absolutely. It's pretty horrendous. And I always come back to this fundamental point. Understand the difference between marketing and real data, right? When you actually want to make that property purchase decision and go through a series of steps. And those steps can be long-winded and difficult in some cases, but you've got to do it because otherwise you end up, well, with a lemon. And unfortunately, you know, and I know that with 53% of high-rise buildings, according to the New South Wales statistics, with defects, there's a greater than 50% chance you're going to end up with a lemon, which is just a scary, scary, scary thought. Now, let's move the conversation on, Edwin. Sorry, go on.
So and you're flipping the coin as to whether or not it's a major defect.
Yep. Yeah, and you won't know, you know, and I guess the other point is that some of those major defects don't come out in the early years anyway. So, you know, unless you have actually also understood who was building it in the first place, what credentials they have, what other buildings they've actually built, you can actually end up with, you know, this lemon. And, you know, that lemon is is a very expensive lemon indeed. Now, let's talk about WeChat. And I thought this was an interesting article. You know, people have been saying, oh, the Chinese buyers are actually maybe walking away. Well, according to this particular article, there's a Chinese buyer who outbid the locals by $1 million for a luxury Gold Coast home sold prior to auction at $7.7 million. There's still plenty of money around, Edwin. And I guess the WeChat chatterers, they look pretty active, actually.
Look, they are, and this is what we were saying earlier on with regards to the information that the mainstream publish, or the different aspects, depending on what reporter it is, you determine what bend they'll take. But at the end of the day, we've got to look at the demographics and who's influencing the markets. Within the city, within the LGA, within the neighborhood that you're looking at buying into. But look, in general terms, the WeChat chatter has been focused on buying. They're more so focused on buying in the Sydney region, as well as the focus is also in Brisbane. Probably hence that article that you saw there. They in terms of lifestyle, in terms of that. Or that wow factor that they want to have, that those bragging rights that they want to have. It's you buy in Sydney or you buy in Brisbane, especially those top end properties. With views and depending on the location as well. So these are the things with the WeChat chatterers. I mean the chatter is continually to get out of Melbourne because of the ongoing issues, tax liabilities that they're facing there. They're not getting the rental returns. They can't. They don't have the support groups down there to manage the properties the way that they manage the properties here. Hence the reason why we've got low figures on market in terms of rental, because a lot of the properties have gone to private lettings, and in those private lettings we've got what they call budget accommodation or room lettings or even bed lettings. And all these things, and they can manage it because of the cash, the cash economy that they work under, and that's how they get able to buy more property and keep those returns on their investment a lot higher than your traditional markets will ever do. So that's the focus continues to be on buying Brisbane, buying Sydney, the Silent Tigers are the ones that continue to break new grounds, but we've been saying this for a while. I'm not sure whether I shared this last week on Twitter or whether I can't remember what I shared last week. But this is just a conversation with one of the agents in the Blacktown LGA, and it's it's interesting. And I share these conversations to show or to establish the more what we're saying, and this is one of the many agents that are saying the same thing. But it's not only in the Blacktown LGA, but because they're moving, the Silent Tigers are moving north. They're clashing a lot with the WeChat chatterers over in your Eastwoods, Eppings, in your Ryde areas, your Concord areas. Now I've seen a lot of Silent Tigers in that area as well. So, you know, because why? Because the a lot of the professionals that came last year, they came with a lot of money and they came ready, you know, pretty much ready, willing and able to buy property. Once they established themselves, they worked out where the better schools are for the children, for the family to, and where the better areas are, and that's where they're moving into. So you're seeing they're spreading the wings a little bit further and a little bit quicker than the Witcher chatterers are used to doing. But it's a big group that that a lot of the locals are going to have to contend with and going to have to go toe to toe with when it comes to buying property. So it's watch this space with the Witcher chatterers, as we've been talking about, but also now with the Silent Tigers, because they're really heavy on the prowl. And I mean, I attended a few open house inspections in the Blacktown LGA for clients on Saturday, and yeah, it's incredible what you're seeing, and it's really no different to what we've been talking about, Martin. And it's young professionals, young families, and they're driving prices very, very hard. And this is why I'm changing my, apart from a couple of other things, I'm changing my my predictions for 2024, Martin, particularly prediction 3, 4, and 5.
Yes, well, you know, momentum is pretty strong. And I guess, Edwin, one of the other interesting observations, and there was an article through the last week, that more people are actually rocking up with quite a large cash. So it's not just those that are actually highly mortgaged. There are a lot of people, and we've discussed this previously on the shows, quite a few of the people coming into the country, the migrants coming in, more than 600,000, a proportion of them are coming in with large amounts of money that allows them to buy for cash. And so that's one of the reasons, I guess, why your predictions may be being tweaked.
Yeah, look, in 100% there, Martin. And this is where, look, I said that the Sydney property market in general terms, because the mainstream talk about general terms. And I'm talking about the Sydney, basin. I'm not talking about the Sydney region that others talk about, which stem all the way to the Central Coast and out to Lithgow and to your old neck of the woods. I'm talking about where most of the stories gather momentum, which is the Sydney region, based on the main Sydney region. And I was calling 5% rise. I'm going to increase that to 10 to 15%. From what I'm seeing on the ground, and from what my team is seeing on the ground, and all the information that we're gathering, it's early stages yet. But I think if we get a major downturn in listings over winter, it's pretty much on the cards. Then we've got number four is some areas of Sydney may hit 15 higher price increases as well. Look, I'm already seeing that being hit in many parts of the Blacktown LGA and in Campbelltown, Campbelltown LGA as well. And it's phenomenal to see how strong those markets are. And again, we go back to the entry points that we had at the beginning of the year. We're very low and we're very appealing. And a lot of young families were making those journeys. We're venturing further out in order to, as we were saying back in January, that's what a lot of young families were going to do, and they have been doing. And now they're finding themselves competing with the Silent Tigers, competing with a lot of investors as well. And it's not only just first-time buyers that they're competing with in amongst themselves, but it's also a lot of investors, Martin, that are seeing these communities as communities polarize. And you see the trend where there's certain communities that are polarizing, and certain communities are very open to budget accommodation and to your room letting or your dual families, or even having three families in a bigger home living together, and they're also happy to pay cash in order to be given preferential preferential treatment to obtain that their home as a rental. So this is what the investors are looking for. These the investors that we look at that are predominantly parking a lot of money in property in the majority homes. And so that's where you're going to. That's where the first time buyers, the younger, the Aussies, basically battling with. And look, I'm again, like I said, I'm calling. I'm going to call a. You know, in some areas, we're going to see a rise of 20 to 25%. It's not going to be unheard of. And even in some more affluent areas, I'm already seeing that because of the upper end of the scale of your WeChat chatters are just driving the markets of new properties or well presented properties in your in your North Shore, in your Upper North Shore. So it's no surprise to see 3-4 WeChat families going toe to toe to get the bragging rights of owning a house in your in these areas. So it's. And they're throwing a lot of money at it, and then of course by default, then you are going to get your extended regions such as your Central Coast and all the way up the Mid Mountains and to Lithgow. You're going to get that that growth in values as well, because the Aussie battlers are going to have no choice but to move further out. They'll bite the bullet and they'll be commuting, and I think those changes are going to happen. More rapidly than what many have believed, because of course they're also believing in many of these investors and as well as the first home buyers are very fearful, because when you hear the chatter out there, Martin, is that they're very fearful that as the mainstream media keeps on playing that the story that the rates may come down. They want to get into the market before rates come down and before vendors increase the prices. So it's all this is fueled by, as we were saying, by the migration intake, which is one of the main factors that you and I've been discussing for a while. So when you have 125,000 arrivals in January, that's a huge number, and most of them will be staying in New South Wales.
Absolutely. Well, the migration story is not over. And whilst the lip service has been throttling back migration, the statistics are showing an alternative story. More people still coming in. Now, of course, the mix may be changing. So we might find less students, but we might find more people with capacity to purchase property. Like I say, I think this cash buyer story is a very, very important one. And my expectation, Edwin, is we're going to see this continuing for some time. And I do think the focus on the Sydney region is very relevant, right? Because a lot of people do come into Sydney and then perhaps ultimately may move somewhere else. But as you said earlier on, avoiding Melbourne, and the story in Melbourne continues to deteriorate, as we'll see when we get to the numbers in a little while. But you also mentioned one other really interesting observation, and that is the question of rates. And what I find fascinating is that the story about rate expectations is starting to change again. So if you look at this particular story, this was actually came out this week, and we've got five economists here all warning that rates may not be cut this year. And some of them are even suggesting that they may have to hike rates. Why? Because inflation is considerably more sticky. And of course, the RBA tomorrow will be discussing and then telling us what they think about rates. No one's expecting rates to change tomorrow. But all of the data is pushing back on the concept of rate cuts anytime soon. And I think that's a really significant observation, given that, of course, we still have quite a few people who are leveraging up to be able to buy those properties, chasing higher prices. And we've also seen, of course, that the mortgage momentum eased back a little. But nevertheless, a lot of people are really struggling. And that one of the factors that it's worth thinking about there was the most recent delinquency data that came out started to show a little bit of a rise in the delinquency rates. Now, this is for the mortgage-backed securities, so it's not necessarily a very good analog for the whole market, but nevertheless, delinquencies are rising too. So higher interest rates, higher delinquencies, are two other factors that perhaps people should incorporate in their thinking when they think about chasing property.
That would be the logical path to take, but unfortunately, Martin, 70 to 80% of the people don't make a logical decision when they're buying property, particularly when they see that there's a lot less property on the market than in 2023. No matter how much the mainstream media or other statisticians, say that the listings have gone up by 25%, listings have gone up by 27% or 35% across Sydney. Yeah, you got to identify what is Sydney. Yeah, the ABS, Sydney. Yeah, it encompasses the Central Coast and down all the way to Wollongong and over to Lithgow just about. But that's not the Sydney that's predominantly where people mainly live. We're going to eventually be pushed out into those areas. Yes, I agree. But at the moment, the numbers that we're seeing in the Sydney region are vastly different to what you hear. And this is why people are getting caught out. This is why I keep on saying, and what we said from the beginning of the show, you've got to really sift through a lot of the information and a lot of what the people are putting up on X, are putting up on, the social media posts, regardless of what they call themselves, economists, reporters, property gurus, statisticians, property houses and everything. At the end of the day, it comes back to the numbers. And look, as I've been saying, and I say it somewhat in jest, but I who the hell knows who's in control, Martin, with come March 2020, our government lost control, and it's turning. You get mainstream reports on this and on that, but it all turns on a dime, or it turns from 1 week to the next, or 1 month to the next. So that's why, for me, at the end of the day, for me personally, and our team, we go back to the numbers, because at the end of the day, Martin, numbers don't lie. And real estate agents advertise on. Yes, we do look at REA as well. We do look at REA numbers as well. For those that are questioning that, but the numbers, 99% of real estate agents use Domain as the main portal to list the properties, and that is the one of our main gauges as to see what's happening, other than what we see on the on other social media platforms like they from our new colleague that's focused with the Vietnamese community and what she brings to the table with what the new kids on the block are doing and saying, as well as Dusty and Evan with the WeChat chatterers as to what they're doing, and now our extended groups with the Silent Tigers, because these are communities that are moving the market that we're in, which is the Sydney region. And this is where I would be persuaded differently my thoughts in house prices rising, if and when I see listing numbers on market rising as well. I would really be persuaded differently. We would be the first anyway, Martin, to announce that, because everybody else relies on God knows what other numbers. And then they get polarized. They get pollax when they go to auction, thinking that there's only two or three people going to turn up, and there's 15 bidders, and they get dropped off the field, 20% below what the property sold for. And this is what I see over and over again on those social media posts, where these so-called experts put on X. First of all, they believe the low guides that the agent are putting up on the advertising. They believe that, and why do they believe that? It's because they, in their heads, they believe that the market, because they read other reports that there's been an increase of about 27-37% increase in listing numbers in Sydney from last year to this year. I don't see it. I haven't seen it. I don't see it on the ground. We don't see it. All we're seeing is the opposite.
Well, let's look at the numbers, Edwin, because, you know, as you say, the numbers don't lie. And if we start with domain in Sydney, this is the week of the 11th of March. There were 16,288 properties shown. And, you know, a lot there are apartments as well as houses. And if we jump forward, 16,139. And interestingly, the number of apartments dropped slightly more than houses. But those trends, comparing this year with last year, shows that comparatively speaking, the momentum is slower in terms of listings and easing away, which is another factor in the mix, which suggests that we may well be seeing prices holding up in a lot of areas. And again, I don't see a lot of discussion in mainstream media on this, where everyone's claiming that somehow this year is rather different.
Yeah, exactly. And this is these are the figures that we pull in on a given day and a given hour of the day, so they can be uniform throughout the years that we've been sharing these numbers, and we can see this. But the numbers don't lie. The scary thing is, we said last week that we were going to be entering into nail-biting territory. I think we're there. I was. I wanted to see what the numbers were going to be for this week. And look, we're still tracking about 600-700 listings lower than what we were same week last year. But there has been a definite downward turn in listings on the market. The week before that, we were closer to 1,000, and that was a little bit scary, but now we're sort of picked that up a little bit, but we're still 600-700 listings lower than what we were same week last year, and I feel that people are now pretty much getting ready for winter, which is seasonally where numbers will peg back anyway. So this is the scary part of the year, when to see how low those listing numbers will end up going, and then how last year it wasn't until the middle of spring and towards the end of spring that the numbers didn't pick up again, and it was really, really scary. And this is what I keep on saying over and over again: you've got a retraction in for sale listing numbers, you got an increase in the government immigration policy, and you got more migrants coming in than ever before in January, this January than any other year, and what I keep on saying over and over again: the migrants that have been coming in of late, a lot of them are coming in with a lot of money. They are coming in with not literally, but metaphorically speaking, with suitcases of cash. In other words, they're coming in with your equivalents of your 30-40% deposits to put down on homes, if not more. And they're your silent tigers. And then you've got your expats that are also coming back from Europe, and there's a lot of Asian families that live abroad, but they hold permanent Australian permanent residency, that are also coming back, and they're buying property because they don't want to take that money back to China. Again, so these are all the factors that are influencing the Sydney market, and why do we stand out so much from the Melbourne market is because so far we don't have we haven't been burdened with those taxes that Victoria have.
Well, we'll get on that in just a second. Let's just start with the numbers in Melbourne. So if you look here at, again, on the 11th of March, 27,158, and the same trends with a lot more houses than apartments in Melbourne. We've seen that consistently through the year. If we then go forward to the 18th of March, 26,948, so a very slight easing. But as you say, in the get out of Victoria segment, or whatever you want to call it, the fact of the matter is that things are not good. And this was a tweet that I think you were engaged in, where the land tax bill, well, it's a bit big, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we shared this a few weeks ago in our get out of Victoria segment. in one of these, yeah, just to put it to our followers, what the yeah, what would these? Because you can talk about taxes, you can talk about land taxes, and all the issues. But until you start seeing the numbers that the investors, you know, the land taxes that are being claimed of property investors in Melbourne, you know, you don't really understand how eye watering it is. So this Crystal Mitchell shared about one of her friends that's got an investment property in Victoria. A few weeks back, she shared the post, and at that time, the land tax bill for the property was around $3,000, or about $3,500, let's say. And then she received information from the government, the powers to be, that her land tax bill was going to go from $3,500 to $9,100. Now, in this latest post, from yesterday, Crystal shared the update on that saga that a friend had been going through, and so her friend challenged the $9,100, the new bill for $9,150 land tax bill that she had to pay, and this is only for 12 months, right? Lo and behold, she said she got a reply, a response, and said, "Yes, look, unfortunately, we have made a mistake. It's not $9,150 that you owe us. It's actually $29,357. So, how do you like them apples?"
Well, it is interesting, Edwin. I've had a few people tell me stories as to where when they've challenged some of those taxes. And they've actually had the same experience where the people have come back and said, "Oh, actually, we made a mistake," but they put it up. So, you know, maybe the truth is sometimes be careful what you challenge if you don't know what the answer is likely to be. But no, that's horrendous. And, you know, you got to understand that that's one of the pressures that a lot of people in the Melbourne area are under. And as I've also reported recently, the net rental yields are negative. Some of the reasons include some of those taxes and other things as well. The costs of owning an investment property in the Melbourne region are ever higher, but you can't put the rent up ever so much because people can't afford to pay it. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why we're seeing more listings, more investment properties from the Melbourne region coming on.
And the other thing, Martin, there is that what you're going to see also is there were reports that I believe I think we discussed before with regards to the land tax bill on commercial and industrial units as well. In some cases, they were going from something like $91,000 or $110,000 per annum to some crazy amounts of $300,000, $500,000 per annum, where small industries just can't operate. You just can't operate. But watch this space, and you're going to hear it first on DFA Walk the World International Monday Evening Property Rant with Martin, Dusty, and Edwin. And that is, watch this space, and you watch the prices surge in New South Wales, particularly around the Penrith, anywhere between Penrith and all the way back to Orange and Bathurst and Orange, where the industrial complexes are going to skyrocket in price over the next 12 months. You heard it first on Walk the World, International Monday Evening Property Rants with Martin North, Dusty and Evan, and myself. Well, it's a given. The small industry is going to come, jump the border, and they're going to start parking themselves here in New South Wales because of that land tax. How the hell do you meet? Do you go from $110,000 to close on to $500,000 and try to keep your business afloat, Martin?
It's impossible. And, you know, there are a lot of pressures on small businesses. Around 20% of small businesses are risking pressures on their survivability, partly because the ATO is now ramping up the demands for tax that, of course, was pretty much frozen through COVID, and just the general expenses of running a business. The red tape is still as bad as ever. And you're right. You know, we are going to see some significant shifts. And I also, again, see in some of my surveys that absolutely in play at the moment. Let's just talk briefly about Queensland, because, of course, Queensland is its own little world when it comes to property. And there on the 11th, we had 3365 go forward, 3256 are very, very small ease, but it's similar trend. You know, listings are way down, not enough demand, supply disequilibrium is massive in the Brisbane region. One reason why prices there are still rising in many areas. And also just on the auctions, Edwin, I saw an article on one of the socials claiming that this was a major mega week for the New South Wales area. But when I looked at the numbers, I wasn't quite so convinced.
Well, look, just going back a step before we go into the auctions, I just want to bring to the attention of our followers is that the Brisbane numbers, I didn't send you the snapshot, but if you looked at what we were sharing same week last year on the Brisbane numbers, they were tracking just a little bit over 1,000 more properties on market same week last year.
That
that's a lot. Is a hell of a lot more than what we are now. Just to close the segment on numbers, auctions. Look, you've got 1,700 in Victoria at the end of the week, and 1,074 in New South Wales, which is a lot more than what we had over the last weekend. But it's because the weekend after that, is Easter. So we'll have a huge drop off in numbers over the Easter weekend. So everybody's compressed the auction numbers on by a week. There's two homes that we're following for clients that were originally scheduled to go to auction not this weekend, but the following weekend, the Easter long weekend. And it appears that they're going to be bought to this weekend, and we'll be notified. We will be notified of that if they are going to bring forward. I would dare say that they will, given the amount of interest that they have. So it's just a matter of accommodating auctioneers, accommodating those that are interested in the home. So yeah, there's a lot of auctions that have been scheduled, and that's the main reason why. Other than that, like I say, it's just a form of selling. It's just that the mainstream get off on, that a lot of people get off on. They make a lot of noise about it. There's a lot more on offer by way of private treaty, but auction just seems to hit the funny bone, that feel good for some or feel bad for others part of the emotion that they get so caught up in it. I say in a market like this, you try to buy your damn hardest to buy before auction, at the auction as well, and you more than likely get a better outcome or a better price post auction if it doesn't meet the reserves. But this, it's just another form of selling. We just talk about it because everybody else does.
Absolutely. But, the fact that we've got Easter coming up, that's really bunched some of the auctions together. So you can't really make a trend from it. But we can talk a little bit about some of the rental trends, because they're quite interesting insofar that if you look at the Sydney area, properties for rent last week were at 8356 and they moved up to 8426. So a slight increase in the Sydney region. And if you look at Melbourne, 8006 a week ago, 8345. So it does look as though the rental situation has, turned around slightly. But that's partly, of course, because a lot of the students now are back, and so they found accommodation. But within that, there's still quite a few people struggling to pay rents, looking for somewhere cheaper. And so there is a bit of fluidity in terms of the supply demand. But we just still really don't have, the vacancy rates are still relatively low relative to the population and demand. And so my expectation is we're still going to see rents climbing over the next few months.
Look, we will. It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on the Melbourne region, because the jump the jump in numbers in a given week has been, in my opinion, from the last 6 months trend, has been rather yeah, there's been quite a lot. I would like to think that a lot of the investors that put the properties on the market that aren't achieving the prices that they would like to get. Hence the reason we've got a hell of a lot more properties for sale on market in the Melbourne region than what we do have in Sydney. I would like to think that because a lot of those properties have stayed on market for a long time, some of these people are sort of having second thoughts and have decided to put their properties back on the rental arena, hoping that they're going to get a little bit more for the properties and to ease the pain. Because at the end of the day, if it's an investor, you owe money to the bank, whether or not your property's on the for sale ledger, you still got to pay your monthly repayments. And if you're not getting an income, and if your property's sitting there because of the amount of properties that sit alongside of you in the same neighborhood that are also for sale, you either do one of two things. You either chop your price and get out quickly, or you bear the pain for stump up from your reserves. And I think that maybe some people, hopefully, for the renters in Melbourne, hopefully that is going to be a trend. But it'll be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of weeks, because obviously 1 week doesn't make a trend. If we get the same jump next week and the following week, then that may be something that a bit of relief for the Melbourne region, but definitely not for Sydney.
Absolutely. Well, we'll watch and wait and report next week as the statistics come crawling in. Before I throw back to you for your tip of the week, I just want to highlight two other quick things. The first is people are now talking about do we need a Royal Commission for housing. I don't know what you think, Edwin, but I would have said that the last thing we want is another year, 18 months of investigation into the housing market. We know what the problems are. It's lack of political will to tackle them. And the other one, just in terms of what we were saying earlier on about how builders in particular, there was this article which suggested that home builders are keeping buyers in the dark about their finances. I think this is a really important article, because the fact of the matter is you have to do due diligence as well as on the property, on the builder, if you're actually thinking of engaging with the builder, because quite a few builders are significantly underwater at the moment, and that's a big deal too. So my tip of the week is do your homework around the builder as well as around the property. Back to you for your tip of the week, Edwin.
Look, I think that's a very important tip there, man, because this is where a lot of people come in unstuck with those, and builders are putting a lot of pressure on people that are getting the homes built, because they don't know any better and they're getting desperate. The people are getting desperate for the homes to be finished, and therefore they go along with it, and then they realize that the builder is not only building their home, but he's also building one or two or three or four or 10 or 50 other homes, and they're just really all they're doing is just shuffling money. They're just shuffling money from one to the other, and they come unstuck. And then when you go and see tradespeople picking up tools and walking out, or picking up tools and material and walking out of, and these poor bastards that have engaged these builders that haven't paid their tradies, they don't realize what's going on. And this is where a lot of people got to be careful. I'm still of the opinion, Martin, that we are going to still see a hell of a lot more small and medium tier building companies go under before there's any relief. In that way, bringing in more people is not solving the issues that the government would like to think that that it's solving. It's actually creating, it's adding to inflation. It's adding to the woes that we all have to go through, because things are costing more to be built, materials are costing more, and it's not really bringing any relief, not with what we have on hand. But and as you said, to bring in a Royal Commission, if they're not going to tackle the that could solve the issue by pressing the button, the put and pause button, and that's it. We would have the beginnings of a better outcome than a Royal Commission that we spend millions of dollars on and get nowhere. Look, my tip of the week, is really be more careful of scammers, and builders and can be in that category as well, because they will scam you for money and not providing the what they said they were going to provide in terms of the giving them the progress payments, and shit doesn't get done for months on end. And when we get walking into winter now, and you've got a lot of showers. I mean, it's pouring rain outside the house right now, and you've got building new construction that's just started. They're waiting on payments, or they haven't got materials, or the builder's not fronting up, this, that, and the other. A lot of these materials are being exposed to the weather for too long. Apart from the natural issues that we're facing, then you've got further delays, and a lot of the materials are cheap materials that get exposed to the bad weather, and then they continue to build with that cheap crap that's already damaged before it's even used up. So this is the crazy stuff. But apart from that, there's a lot of scammers around the rental sector of our industry, and this is mainly around your private lettings and your budget accommodation scenarios. And a lot of the scammers are coming through Facebook, and people are being scammed. The ones that are being scammed are the people that are looking for accommodation. They're going to places. They think it's a place that they're going to rent, but it's actually not. But they meet somebody there, that person that they meet somehow. I don't know the whole how it all works, but in most cases, these poor people, they get told that they need to pay a deposit. They don't know how it works, because the new migrants. Admittedly, a lot of the scammers are in your Asian space, because they're preying on the students and the ghost migrants, or the tourists that eventually become ghost migrants here. They're working illegally, and they're paying cash, so they don't know what to do. So there's a lot of scamming going on, but obviously our followers aren't. It's more for interest. But outside of that, the scams that are my phone. Because I'm on WhatsApp, I'm on WeChat, I'm on all these other different platforms and social media things. Obviously, I use the phone number as ID. I've had more scams in the last email scams, to text scams, to phone call scams. I've probably had to block and delete more scammers in the last month than I have in the last 12 months.
Well, you might be amused. I'm still getting messages saying, "We've got a parcel we're trying to deliver to you in my Australian phone number." This is right. Or the other one is, "You've missed a toll charge, right? For again, to my Australian phone." I'm thinking, that's interesting. Well, I'm not even around, so how does that work? But talking of scams, I thought this was quite an interesting one. This is actually US inflation, right? If you actually use the official calculation of CPI before 1983, in other words, how it used to be calculated, right? The official US inflation number was 19%, and it's still at 11% compared with the official number, which was a lot lower. I would argue that the same is also true in Australia. So there's a big scam going on in terms of the way that the inflation number is actually calculated. And that, I think, is highly relevant given the fact that, of course, the cost of living is now excluding the cost of mortgage and housing. And the other one I just couldn't not cover today was this one here, with this young kid who has been encouraged to invest in property. Now, how a youngster can actually own property is a interesting observation, because you have to, I think, be over 18 to contract. But there's a lot more behind this in terms of actually, the story than the official one. But I have to say that the mainstream, again, went to town on the story of a youngster owning property. And I'm thinking, oh dear, oh dear. Australia property, you can't, what do you say?
Well, you're talking about legal scams, Martin. See, this is what you call legal scams. Anything to do with property in that sort of stories, that's a legal scam. Because the father, it's my understanding that the father wrote a book about property investing, right? And he just wants to sell a book and just get it's free publicity. So, right? So what's the best type of publicity? Free publicity. You know, unfortunately, this poor kid's going to be marked now. Now, the like outside of that, you know, good luck to them. That's why we have, you know, in my books, this is why you have family trusts, you know, and so you know, even your newborn can be eligible for a property in your family trust. So it's just it's a legal scam, and it just the big story there is, you know, how many books he's going to sell off the back of that bullshit story. The other legal scam that you spoke about earlier on is the government. I mean, they've been scamming us for how many millennia, right? So and how many centuries here in Australia? So they're legal scams. So yeah, the scams that I'm talking about is the illegal scams. So we need to define the two scammers, Mark.
Well, just bear in mind that, of course, income tax, when it was first invented, was meant to be a temporary tax. I'll just leave that thought with you, Edwin. And you know and I know that things ain't what they should be. Thank you once again, as always. Great to catch up with you. And we'll do it all again next week. There'll be plenty more info to share. And have a good week meantime, Edwin.
Likewise, mate, and all the best there.
See you later. Cheers. Bye.